Question is this morning, what's our story? See, the greatest story ever told is the story of God's love and how God the Creator was willing to become man so that he could save us out of the midst of our mess. But the amazing thing is that it doesn't stop there. Because God wants to help us rewrite our story. Doesn't matter where we're up to in our story. Some of us feel like we're getting towards the end of the book when it comes to our story. It's like, not sure how many more chapters we've got in this one. But God always wants to help us write our story. Yes, it will always be our story because we're unique. And God loves that. I don't know about you, but each of my kids is totally unique. Same parents, but very unique kids. And each of us are like that before God. He looks at us. I mean, I don't know about you, but I can remember when each of our children were born, looking at them, holding them, and feeling this incredible love for this little baby who had done absolutely nothing except make my life uncomfortable for 9 months, caused me several hours of effort and pain, and who I knew would cause me sleepless nights ahead and quite a few challenges. And yet, as I held that baby and looked at it, there was this immense love for this child. They didn't have to do anything. They didn't have to be anything. Who they were made them one who was loved. And that's a small glimpse of the heart of God towards us. That when he looks at us, he sees us as somebody of incredible worth. So I'm going to start this morning with a scripture. I'll have it up on the screen for you. Come on. Yes. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, "Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you." Now, this is an Old Testament scripture. And in the Old Testament, we normally see law, we see the standard of God, and we see how much man has fallen short of that standard. So we see man, we see sin, and we see the consequence of sin. So when you look in the Old Testament, you see a lot of stories of judgment, and you see the sadness of what sin causes. But you also get these amazing glimpses throughout the Old Testament into the heart of God. And this is one of them, where God says, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." Now, some of you may just click already with the song we've already been singing. Ray and I don't actually talk about what we're going to talk about or the songs we're going to sing. Yet Ray has had you singing this morning about being loved with an everlasting love. And this is the scripture that it comes from. God's love is everlasting. That means you can't change it. It's not dependent upon you. is dependent upon who God is. God is everlasting and his love is everlasting. Nothing you can do can take his love away. And we were declaring that in the song that we sang this morning. There's no place that we can go that his love won't be there. Yes, we make dumb decisions. Yes, we do things that God is not all that happy with. It's like that was not a smart choice. But God's love does not change. And he goes on to say here, therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Some people's concept of God is that God is after them. He's after them with a big stick, and watch out if he ever catches up with you. I've even heard some people say, God's made me sick to teach me a lesson. That is so sad. If you ask them, they probably wouldn't even know what the lesson was. I've never made any of my kids sick to teach them a lesson. If I did, we would probably have authorities want to deal with that, right? And yet some people think that that is what God is like. But the Bible tells us, no, that he draws us with loving kindness. That means he wants to be so extravagantly good to you that you go, wow, that's awesome. That's how God wants to draw us to himself. Let's look at this next scripture. Oh, wrong way. That way. It's from the Amplified Bible. It's in Hebrews 1, it's New Testament. In many separate revelations, each of which set forth a portion of the truth, and in different ways, God spoke of old to our forefathers in and by the prophets. But in the last of these days, he has spoken to us in the person of a son. What that is saying there is that in the Old Testament, you've got different men and women who speak about what God is like. But they're prophets, they're servants. They give a perspective of the truth, but they don't give a full revelation of what God is like. One of the reasons that Jesus came was to die for our sin. We spoke about that last Sunday. The second reason that Jesus came was so that we could know what God is like. Because a lot of people don't know what he's like. Jesus came as a son and revealed a father, a loving father. One full of goodness and kindness who wants his kids to come home. If your kids mess up, if your kids do something dumb, first thing you want to know is, are you okay? And you want to bring them home. Why? Because that's the heart of a mother or a father. That's what God's heart is like. So yes, in reading through the Old Testament, it gives us glimpses of truth. Especially gives us a glimpse that God is holy and we need help to be in God's presence. Light and darkness don't mix. Holiness and sin don't mix. So God had to deal with the sin. And he did that through Jesus. Got it right this time. John 1:17 and 18 says this, for the law was given through Moses, But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. He has made known what he is like. Who's heard on the news or seen on insurance papers, acts of God. Okay, some of you have. Acts of God are considered to be tornadoes, floods, devastation. Jesus did not bless any storm. He calmed them. When somebody came to Jesus for help, he didn't say, well, go away and when you've been miserable for 5 days, then I'll look at helping you. We laugh, but it's sad when people think that. Jesus came to declare a good Father who loves us. It says here about law and grace. Law will tell you what to do. Or more particular, law will tell you what not to do. Thou shalt not kill, steal, commit adultery, etc. Grace empowers us to do what is right. The law came through Moses, that's the Old Testament. When Jesus came, he brought two things. He brought grace and he brought truth. He brought the truth about the heart of God and he brought the grace to enable us to live in relationship with God. Law demands, grace enables. Don't live under the law. It's a miserable place to live. Romans 5:17 says this, "For if by one man's offence death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." What's that saying? Starts by saying, for if by one man's offence death reigned through the one. That one man is Adam. When Adam sinned, sin brought death. That's why you have people die. It is the consequence of death. It's a spiritual law of gravity. That takes various forms, whether it's poverty, whether it's sickness, whether it's heartache, or ultimate death. That happens to everybody. Why? Because of what one man did, who is the father of all of us. That's Adam. We all came from Adam. But it goes on to say, much more. Those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Two men, one Adam, the other Jesus. Powerful effects. We are all born in Adam. We all have sin, sickness, heartache, poverty, distress, are natural to this human planet because of sin. Not because it's the heart of God, but because of sin, man's sin. God came, dealt with sin, and now, through Jesus, we can have what Jesus has. We can have his life, his righteousness, his holiness. That can belong to us. Why? Because Jesus gave it to everyone who chooses to receive it. Again, Ray did not know what this message was on, but a lot of the songs that he was singing this morning was about receiving. It is simply about receiving. Let me illustrate that for you this morning. Very simple illustration. I have a $20 note here. Who does it belong to? Yeah, it's mine, right? My $20 note. Now, if I try to give this $20 note to Lynn and she doesn't take it, she refuses to have it, who does it belong to? It's still mine, right? It's my $20 note and it's still my $20 note. But I give it to Lynn if she receives it. Whose is it now? It's Lynn's. It was mine, but the moment she received it, it became hers. That simple. Jesus' righteousness or right standing with God, his holiness, his purity, his life, his health. You know, Jesus was never sick. He didn't have to say, oh, sorry, boys, I'm a bit sick today. Tell the crowds to go away, I got a cold. He didn't need the flu jab. He wasn't short of money. Even though some people think that he was in designer clothes, so much so that Roman soldiers decided to gamble to see who would get Jesus' clothes. I don't think many of us here would have that problem, where people would gamble, say, oh, we're not throwing those out, boy. Either you want it or I want it, because I want it. Paul thinks that maybe somebody would want his top. I can see you right. Maybe Paul, but I don't think it quite measures up. Everything that Jesus has, he freely gives us. But the thing is that we have to receive. And many times we're trying to get something. We're trying to feel like we're good enough. Now, Lynn didn't have to be good enough to receive the $20 note that I gave her. All she had to do was receive it. And Ray spoke earlier about being hard for him to receive the car that we now have. Why? Because he kept on looking at himself. Kept on looking at what he wanted to do. What would others think? Is he good enough? Should he have it? And many times we do the same sort of thing. We're not quite sure whether we measure up before God. But we do when we simply receive everything that Jesus has done for us. Let me show you the next scripture. John 1, verse 10. He, this is speaking of Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Amazing. Verse 11. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Creator of all came as a man. And many didn't recognize who he was. But everybody who did, who received, got what they came for. If you read through the Gospels, you see person after person that came to Jesus. Every one of them received. Not one person did he say, "Oh, sorry, 5 o'clock Friday afternoon. Finished work now. Come back Monday." He didn't say to anybody, "Oh, healings were on special on Tuesday. This is Thursday. No, I don't do that today." Everyone who came received. And Jesus hasn't changed. Every time we come, we receive. So we're going to finish by going back to the same scripture, Romans 5 again. "For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace." There's an abundance. You can't bankrupt God. The silly little illustration that I had with the $20 note. If I kept on giving out $20 notes, I might eventually run out of money to give. God is so big and so vast in everything that he has. You'll never bankrupt him. Some people wonder, you know, should I come again for prayer? And come as often as you want. God's supply is not going to run out. Abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. That's right standing with God. We will never, under our own efforts, ever be good enough. Why? Because none of us can be perfect. And that's God's standard. Total perfection. The only one who has ever met that standard is Jesus. Jesus can stand before a holy God and say, "I have never sinned." None of us can do that. But then Jesus did something amazing. And he said, "My right standing before God can become your right standing before God. And all you have to do is receive." Abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. God wants to help you write your story. Who loves the rags to riches story? See a few nods. Who likes the stories of those who started in some backwater somewhere, overlooked, nobody knew that they were going to amount to anything. And by the end of the story, they're an amazing inventor or writer or something. Who likes those stories? Yeah, I'm seeing more hands go up. Do you know that's your story?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter where you start. It matters where you finish. God wants to write your story. And the things in life that have been a challenge for you, God wants you to know what it is to reign in life. To be as one who rules over rather than a servant under. And sadly, most of us live as servants under our circumstances. But God says, as you receive of all my grace, my ability, my supply, my wisdom, my strength, my hope, my joy, you'll start to reign in life. I don't know about you, but that sounds a good end to the story. Where are you at in your story today? For some of you, it may be time to start a new chapter. For some of you, it may be time to see some of the mistakes of previous chapters put right. Some of us have lived fairly complicated stories, but we know that there's some things back in our past that have yet to be resolved. The bad decisions we made, the messes we created, the legacy that we've left in our family line. And God says, let me help you write your story. Because he loves to take those things and he loves to bring something beautiful out of it. Bible says that he loves to give us beauty for ashes. God's a great restorer. I had fun going with my brother to Motat over the weekend and looking at all the old things in there. Only trouble was that there was many of the old things in there that we could remember. I was like, oh, we had one of those. Oh, look at that. Yeah, I remember using a phone like that. Oh, I remember when we did this and remember the party line and our one was, I think it was short, long, short. And we talked about the tuckers and ringing the tuckers and we'd have to ring on the dial and here it was, you know, sort of like down the bottom and phones had progressed up. I had a cell phone like that. We had heaps of fun looking at things that were from the past, but we still remembered. Yeah, God loves to take things from your past, and he loves to restore them. We're going to finish this morning, and I'm going to invite you, if you want to come forward. We'll have a prayer team up the front here if you want to have people pray with you. Because some of you need to simply receive this morning. Let the Master Restorer deal with some things. Maybe you've been trying to measure up. Maybe there's some things in your life that God wants to give you. He wants to lavish you with loving kindness. And you're still trying to be good enough. Ever tried giving a gift to somebody who doesn't want to receive any gifts? Some of you have, I can see by the looks. It's hard. God wants to give you amazing gifts out of his loving kindness. It's an expression of the love that he has for you. And all we have to do is receive. All we have to do is be like kids on Christmas morning. None of my kids on Christmas morning stood in the doorway and said, oh, have I been good enough? No, they saw the gifts and it's like they wanted to receive. That's why Jesus said, unless you become like a child, you're not going to receive the things of the kingdom. Why? Because you can be growling at a child one minute, and a couple of minutes later they want an ice cream or a gift or something. Why? Because they're a child, and their heart will receive. That's what Papa wants us to be like. So I'm going to pray. We'll close the meeting. If you want prayer, come to the front. We've got some people who'd love to pray with you. Father God, we thank you that you love us with an everlasting love. It's not going to change because we don't measure up or because we mess up or because we do things that even disappoint ourselves. Lord, you love us with an everlasting love, and you're drawing us to yourself with your goodness and your kindness. And we want to recognize that this morning. And we want to come, even as children, and simply receive, because you're a good, good Father. And we can freely receive from you. We thank you for that. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Like a loving Father, you've provided well for your children. And Lord, we want to live as your children, totally loved, totally blessed, and full of joy, the wonderful Father that we have. So thank you, Lord, as we go, speak your blessing over each and every one of us. Thank you, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen.